Blog Talk Radio.
This show will partially honor the Ojibwe spirit and way, but it will also address issues within the community and people's personal lives on what reforms need to be made. Your heart is not open, so I'm a destroyer. The spell has been broken, I loved you so. Freedom comes when you learn to let go. Creation comes when you learn to say no. You're my lesson I had to learn. I was your fortress you had to burn. Pain is a warning that something is wrong. I pray to God that it won't be long. Do you want to go higher? There's nothing left to try. There's no place left to hide. There's no greater power than the power of goodbye. Your heart is not open, so I must go. The sun's been broken, I love you so. You were my lesson I had to learn. I was your fortress you had to burn. There's nothing left to lose. There's no more heart to bruise. There's no greater power than the power of divine. So anyways, in Anishinaabe, there is no word for goodbye. The language of the Ojibwe. They view life and all relationships as being interrelated or constituting a circle. Once something or someone enters our life circle, they continue to exert an influence throughout the remainder of our lives. Even if we do not encounter or see that thing or person again in any direct way. Accordingly, as an expression of this life view, the Ojibwe Anishinaabe do not say goodbye when they part ways, but rather say, Giga Wabamin Manawa, see you again. And by the way, hello friend, I greet you in a good way. Buju Niji. Gine Mikukun, Gidin Mikukun, Gida Mikun, oh well. So this is the power of goodbye. And you know what? I have that power. I'm not trying to make enemies, but I've already shut the door. We are not discussing Fond du Lac Casino management tonight because we had a plant in there. I see your line, Don, on the air, and I'll reel you in a minute. We are also screening calls tonight. However, I am going to launch the chat room as the host. Guests are feel free to listen in, but all calls will be screened. So tonight's topic tonight is about starting over. It's the third day of the new year. Old bones have been buried. Old compromises have been weathered upon. Our ideals have been trampled, but yet we fight on. I remember watching One Tree Hill today, and there was a poem about being the master of one's soul and having the courage to conquer whatever problems we have. So we have to examine our relationships, our business relationships, our personal relationships, even our choices for president this coming year. And we will do that. John texted me and said he'd be late. So, good evening, Don. What's Roland?
Hey, I don't know. Roland is probably in France. But
no, I said, hi, what is rolling?
Oh, what's rolling? Oh, I'm just joking with you. Nothing much, just trying to catch up with all the work that I haven't done in the last 6 days because I've been concentrating on the family and celebration of the holidays and everything else that keeps you balanced as a human being.
Well, we are going to keep it lighthearted tonight.
Thank you.
I just want to mention that we're not repeating anything from last night's show, including the caller's name. I listened to the episode before I deleted it. His name was Ramon J. I won't say his last name for protection clause. We're not going to revisit casino policies or the right and wrongs of it. We're just going to stick with whatever subject matter we choose. But however, I did get some negative feedback from a dealer tonight because I wrote a one-liner about her in a article I published a year ago and then reworked, and she got super pissed at me because she said, I just want to mention that I wrote one line and I'm going to read it to you, and she assumed it was about herself. So let me tell, I want, since you like use the word incriminating this morning, I want you to think if this line is incriminating. Another dealer who generally works graveyard brags constantly about her good works in the community and her exceptional momhood, but never mentions that her job entails collecting money from patrons every day in a devious manner that undermines her bragging rights as a Christian.
Okay, is she a Christian?
She's a good Catholic. She's married to a brother of a priest, and she's constantly pontificating, if I can use that word, about how great of a mother she is, how she does good works in the community. But when I went through treatment the first time, she did come to my graduation. But I feel in many ways she belittles me. But I don't want to talk about that subject tonight. I'm just saying that I got some feedback.
All right, that was an article.
Yeah.
Bottom. Okay, article where? Go ahead.
I used to write for a local publication, and I resigned in the end of June. And
right.
I reworked the article, and I don't want to say anymore, but it's back online. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, but the main thing I want you to remember from all of this is that the casinos are private property, and they can do what they want, especially if people are invading their privacy, other people's privacy. That's a big no-no, asking for money, for anything of that nature. The anonymity of a casino is a paramount to almost anything close, except for...
Okay, well, let's just end it there because nobody's been invading anyone's privacy. Like I said on the previous show, there were two older clients that would ask people for money, and those people were 86, and I don't want any more association with that casino. I don't like their policy or the way they handle things.
They're just a casino.
Right.
That's all. Don't
I do
don't
know people well there. There are people I like there, and there are people I'm close friends with there. But there are people there who they work against the customer and themselves by even being there. So let's start off with a fresh face. I'm going to read this poem by, it's called Invictus. It's a short Victorian poem by William Ernest Henley. He died in 1903. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloodied but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Do you believe that?
I told you that yesterday. And that was, you know, the last thing we talked about is that you are the master of your own destiny and your own direction, and within God's boundaries. Now, you know, there are things that that poem right there hits really close to home, because everyone goes through trials and tribulations, and so they have to pray to something in order to keep their minds fit and active and alert, or else, you know, it's easy to become discouraged. You cannot become discouraged. There is no time in anyone's life that they can spend being negative or discouraged, because that just compounds.
Our bodies naturally, when our bodies are tired, we naturally kind of give a sigh of release and kind of, you know.
But that's tired. I'm talking about mentally agitated. When one is mentally agitated, it sends your body, your hormones, the actual synapses in your brain, it sends them into bad disrepair. It just knocks all your systems awry and the entire body doesn't work. That's why it's important to follow the Trinity, where you've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, where you've got your body, mind, and spirit. You've got to keep that balance. When I say you, I mean everyone has to keep that balance. And that's what's happening with the world right now, is that everybody is off balance, because it's not natural. Naturally, people care for each other. People look out for each other. They grow their families. And now
I agree with that statement,
but everybody's running
misunderstandings and division.
Everybody's running the dollar. They're running after the dollar. Forget the dollar. The dollar is kicking everyone's butt, and that includes you. The dollar is nothing but a piece of paper or a coin, metal coin. That's the value of it. The real value, it only comes in consciousness and perception and how good the society is that caters to that currency. The dollar is nothing, and everybody is running after it and forgetting the humanity. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. That ties in with tonight's topic, because the show description is in our goings on about life, we have miscommunications with people. Now, I didn't want to use my casino friend as an example of conflict, but she read something about an anonymous person anonymous description of someone with no name, and she assumed it was herself. So I'm just going to read the show description, because John will be on the air soon. So I wanted to make this a lighthearted show, so I wrote, "The Sasquatch Society is taking over a northern Minnesota Indian reservation. Last night's episode only proves that somebody is threatened. However, to plan an uneducated street person in our casino episode was menacing and tacky. That is why our station was forced to delete the episode and start over tonight. Tonight we are discussing how one should break ties in the new year, 2016, and handpick their friends more carefully. Don't be fooled by the title. The Sasquatch Society may invade the show as they have before. Listener, beware. All guest callers will be screened." So the only example that I can portray is when I was doing the research for the Night Before show, in 1863, Governor Ramsey, who Ramsey County is named after in the St. Paul area, he tried to invade a northern Minnesota Indian reservation up by Upper Red Lake and Lower Red Lake, and their ultimate goal was to use that land for commercial use, like for lake and property. There were only 20 Native American Indians who held them off, and the brigade that came up from St. Paul, which is the Minnesota capital, came up there with firearms and fighting tools, and they lost. To this day, the Upper and Lower Red Lake and the Red Lake Reservation, there are no white people who are allowed to fish on there. It's only the autonomy of the Native Americans. And white people can fish there if they're invited. So basically what I'm trying to say is the Native American community has always been close to me. I had a play on cable TV in Los Angeles in 1990, and I honor the Native American ways and their natural existence in the world and their lack of compromise. This is disassociative of the topic we talked about last night, but the types of relationships I want to build as a human being in 2016, no matter how much chaos is in the world or how many people die by gunfire, I want healthy relationships with people who understand me. If they don't understand me, then get the hell out of my life. I don't want to be lectured or beguiled or be parented. So what's your call for your New Year resolution?
That doesn't sound like much of a resolution. That sounds like an ultimatum. But I realize that people are different. Every person is an individual, and they have to be treated as such. You don't have ideal relationships ever, not with your mother, your father, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids. There is never an ideal relationship. Ergo, I believe that your New Year's resolution may be a little too far for you to attain, and that means you're setting yourself up for failure. But,
well, I just want to be self-aware and be more respectful to others, and then equally be more respectful towards me.
Well, that's exactly the natural progression. One thing is that, and this is something that is very common, and I was mentioning it, it's part of it, being negative. Self-esteem and how you interact with people and the world around you is probably the most important mental aspect of a human being. There is nothing else that connects the human being more than self-esteem, the way that they feel about themselves. And as long as we continue with wars, that is the natural way of causing dissension. So we're always at each other's throats because war is natural in this, especially in this day and age with super wars. They're natural to our communities around the world. Every community is now used to war. They have to have it, not only just because it satisfies their primal needs, but it's also because they make a shitload of money on it. And that's particularly true with Imperial United States. We are the ones who made ISIS. We made Al-Qaeda. We made, we were there when...
I disagree with that partially, and I'll tell you why. I agree that we... Soviet Union attacked Afghanistan, and we supported the bin Laden outfit. However, we did invade Iraq in 91 in the Gulf War, and also later on after 9/11. We did create disruption there, but the Bible states the illegitimate blood brother of the Jews, which is Ishmael's tribe, the half brother of Isaac, will rise up to agitate the Jews and Christians, and we must destroy Babylon. So whether or not America caused it, it was going to happen anyway. It's Bible prophecy being fulfilled. By the way, John's been on hold 2 minutes, and I don't know if I want to get into this type of debate tonight, considering it's reforming ourselves, but go ahead with your comment.
No. You're absolutely correct in what you stated, that this would have happened anyway, no matter what the promotion of it. But the United States, we are a huge protagonist of what we're getting, what we deserve. We were the ones, Al Bashar, he went through Bekaa, which is the concentration camp over in Libya and Syria, and all of the leaders of Al-Qaeda and ISIS went through that concentration camp, and they were segregated to themselves, and they had plenty of time to plan this culture that's attacking Western culture. Now, you know, the bottom line is that we're getting what we deserve, as I mentioned, and that's not surprising, and I have no really sympathetic bone in my body for what is really happening to people because of the greed, because of the people who are pursuing money, which is oil. And oil is the big, I mean, that's the reason for everything, and we're going to have to stop that because here's climate change, and that's what's the result of money, greed, and oil.
Well, let's have, John's already in. Let's say hello to John.
Hello,
bonjour.
John.
Happy New Year and Happy New You.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
I've already sang Madonna, The Power of Goodbye. I've read a English poem from the early 1900s called Invictus about being the captain of our souls. And I taught Don that there's no word in Ojibwe for goodbye because they believe in the circle of life.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, it's a very touchy subject in the sense of when we talk about war, and that is it inevitable? Yeah, it's inevitable. Some people just like to fight. It's kind of like when you're at school and you see a circle of kids around, and you know, you get to the center of it and you see there's two usually two guys, but sometimes it's girls, but everyone's egging them on. I was even riding a bike about a week ago, and there were two guys out there, and it was more like the crowd wanted to fight more than the guys. You know, the guys are standing there, and everyone's saying, come on, go ahead, do it, you know, show them what you got. And it's kind of like, I think left to themselves, they probably would have walked away, but suddenly it was a pride issue. They had to follow through. But I think the issue is, can you ignore that? In other words, in the global situation, can you ignore other countries? Countries, you know, that are building nukes and that are scheming together with other countries, whether it's with Russia or China or, you know, Iran. It's like, can you just close your eyes to it and say, don't worry about it, it's over there? Or do you have to somehow be involved in this stuff?
Well, that's, you hit the nail on the head when you said that it, you know, it really is our choice not to be involved, but we get involved because there's too much money. The Halliburtons and the Bushes and the Rockefellers and everybody with the oil, and now you got the Buffetts and goofballs like the Waltons, and they're all controlling everything we do. And just like that fight, they're pushing to continue the morass that we're in instead of helping us out of it. And then they're going to say, oh, we did $50,000 here and $45,000 there, when on a minute basis.
Could you, John's call dropped, but I'm letting him back in. John, you have a 6-minute window to call back if it happens again. Is your battery out?
No, your battery. I have five things in my hands, and you know, my thumb kind of bumped the wrong button. But I was hearing Don's point regarding there's just too much money to be made with the Bushes and Halliburton and other companies are involved in such things. It's like, yeah, that war is very profitable. And you can't build all these bombs and guns and things and not use them.
Exactly. And who made
all
the
cookies?
You know that ISIS is almost 90% armed with U.S. armaments. You know that, right?
Don, did you know
that
John, I watched John and John. I watched the movie with Seth Rogen about Kim Jong Un, and they have the movie was about reconciliation, even though it was a comedy. And basically, you can have stockpiled nuclear arms for years. You know, the Europe has it, NATO has it, America has it. The Russian test ban nuclear treaty John F. Kennedy arranged with Khrushchev, they reduced nuclear missiles, and so did Jimmy Carter. He worked on that and a few others. And you don't have to use the weapons if they exist.
Well, except for one thing, and it's like the computers that I used to have a Windows XP. The problem was, it was so good, so dependable, I didn't need another computer. I had it for close to 10 years. It was perfect. I knew everything about it, how to download things, you know, blow it up, restore it, didn't matter. Knew it in and out. The problem is, they're not making any money off of that. So Bill Gates and them decide to not send any more updates, which makes my computer a dinosaur, which means I have to buy a new computer. So when you make a weapon or arms, it just sits there. You have to keep turning inventory, so you have to come up with new stuff that people can buy. You know, all technology. Otherwise, you go out of business.
Okay.
How you like them apples?
Do you still have that computer, or did you trade it in?
It sits in the corner. In fact, I'm going to dismantle. We're clearing out all kinds of stuff for the new year. There's about five computers sitting there, computer towers, unusable, obsolete, dinosaurs, just like me, ready to be cleaned and thrown out. But you can't just throw it away because there's information on there. So you got to dismantle it. You know, take the chipboard and smash it, and it's a process. Otherwise, it's identity theft. But that's the whole issue, is like money has to keep turning. So you don't want to make a car that lasts 20 years. You want to make a product that are indestructible and solid and so forth. You want things that break every couple of years to get out of date so you can keep making money. It's a very smart business.
Yeah. Well, I've left a few computers in storage, and I never bothered to dismantle them.
Yeah, well, then you got everything. If anybody gets to your computers, you will have everything that you ever knew did on there is going to be available to them.
As many people have found out this last year.
Right. Exactly.
And the problem is, once you have identity theft, it isn't like everyone has it. But once it does happen, I've talked to people that like 4 or 5, 6 years later, they're still dealing with it. Like it's because it gets sent out to people, you know, corrupt people. They ship it out to all over the world, all over the country, and it's open season. And you almost have to start a new identity practically because everyone's got it. And everyone's using it. It's kind of like when someone dies in the obituary, people used to just assume the identity and start using it, go to their house, get their mail, and start opening up new accounts. And yeah, it's a crazy business.
And that's exactly what we have to watch out for in the new year, Jane. You're being much more observant. There are things that we can't leave behind. When you make gestures, when you talk about, write about people, you've got to always expect consequences. I wrote an article about Black Lives Matter. It was an article that was in response to an editorial by an editor at our Reno Gazette Journal newspaper, and the backlash over trivial things, the words that mean virtually the same thing was my biggest set of complaints. You know, and this is ridiculous because the overall intent and announcement wasn't, it, like it wasn't even heard. It was just some blah, blah that was being listened to. And that's one of the things that we have to be vigilant of as human beings, is that every action has a reaction and a consequence.
Well,
right now,
the consequence is that I'm not going to go into detail because last night was a disaster, but
right.
People have a right to express their opinion. They should do it in a tasteful way. There's always going to be someone offended. But in my opinion,
right.
A local business is run poorly. Their parent company isn't, but they
are. Get off
of
that thing. No, I'm talking about in general. I'm not talking about any specifics here. I'm just talking about the fact that there are consequences. And when you step out of your door, there are consequences to other people. If you're inside, the consequences are only to you and the immediate people inside. When you're outside, you've got a whole, everyone has a whole nother set of responsibilities and behaviors that they have to maintain in order to be, quote unquote, civil. In my perspective, you know, where I take things from, I don't come from that assumption of humanity. I come from the assumption of humanity that we are crazy as hell, and then those who are able to control it best are the ones who succeed. You know, that's my place of contention.
Well, I just don't want to parlay my personal life into this episode tonight, but
no, that's what I'm saying.
I was listening to our year-end review show, and you guys made a lot of good comments about, you know, the direction of the country and everything. And is there any? We have 15 minutes left, or actually about 13 minutes left. Is there anything on anyone's mind tonight that they would like to share?
Well, speaking of identity theft, for the New Year's Eve rocking show, Dick Clark, we had a couple people with the mask of Donald Trump and the mask of Hillary Clinton, and Trump said, to make the country safe, as a comedian, he said, I'm going to build a wall, and I'm going to be the only one inside it, so I'll be safe. And then the gal that was Hillary, when they went to commercial, basically they had both of them making out with each other and kissing each other. And
oh, my God.
I was really surprised, you know, that they you know, 'cause it's not like it was just a kids' party thing. I mean, it's a national show, and a lot of people have their kids up till midnight watching it, especially nowadays. And, you know, here they have, I mean, it wasn't X-rated, but still, it was kind of pushing the envelope, especially with these people being candidates that might be president, you know. It was kind of, talk about identity theft. You know, what do you do? How can you sue them? You know, how do you pull it? It was live, so pretty crazy.
Yeah, like on Saturday Night Live, they have innuendos. Like, they had a hilarious one where the real Hillary Clinton was on, and she was, Jimmy Fallon was, actually it wasn't Saturday Night, it was Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon was playing Donald Trump, and he said, Hillary, I got some really good ideas. And she said, wait a minute, Donald, let me grab my pen. And then she grabbed a glass of wine. It was tastefully done and funny for an adult audience, but you're right. They shouldn't have Donald and Hillary kissing. That's just stupid.
Yeah, especially when it was like college prank stuff, you know. And you figure, too, I mean, I don't know what the demographic is. Because it wasn't like it was like 2 in the morning, you know. It was still around the midnight hour. So you figure, I mean, half your audience, it'd probably be people 30 to 50, because the younger kids, they're actually out in the clubbing and going around. So the people sitting around are usually older couples that just don't want to go out, or, you know, people with kids. You know, unless you have a hired babysitter, you're going to stay home with your kids and ring it in that way. I remember as a kid, you know, like we would stay up till midnight, and watch TV and ring the New Year in. My parents were going to go out to a club on New Year's Eve, the Christians. So it was kind of I was just kind of surprised, you know. But that's the whole generation we live in. 20 years ago, they wouldn't do stuff like that on TV, you know. They wouldn't have, like, Nixon and JFK. They wouldn't have done that kind of a parody, not on live TV.
Nor would they publicize if Kennedy had an affair, because there was a gentleman's agreement with the press. Don, did we lose you, or are you just in the grandpa zone?
I let John express his expression. He was a little late today, so I wanted to give him a chance to make up some time.
But, I wanted to do, Don, remember we did an episode 12 hours ago? We got 27 listens, 14 live listens, 3 online listeners, 2 online callers. But all in all, it was 27 listens. And it's probably going to go up because I didn't, When the stats go from, like, the night before to, like, now, it doesn't show all the stats. I won't find out till tomorrow morning.
Well, in a big way, you brought up a very humanistic, here I go with that word again, subject last night. It's addiction. And we were able to at least transverse that. I don't ever want you to throw me under the fucking bus like you did calling that floor manager. That was a little abrupt, and it was personal. That's one of the things that got, I'm glad we
told John some of the stuff that happened. I told him if I had preserved that episode and not deleted it, it would be beneficial for casino patrons to learn on how Reno does things, because you had a lot of knowledge on how casino operations are in Reno. However, I live in a city of 86,000 with only one downtown casino, and it's a little different of a story. There's no other options here. It's the only urban Indian casino in the country within city limits. It was created to build revenue with the city of Duluth, and 4 years ago, Fond Duluth broke ties with the city. And the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs allowed them full autonomy and not to revenue share with the city. So they're already in a battle with the city.
That means that the property that you were owned, that you were on, should have been res property. And so, therefore, that could change things a lot in my assessments yesterday. But, that's something I'll talk to you later about.
Actually, it's a rebuilt Sears building that they renovated.
Right, but if they're going to give an Indian casino autonomy, that means that they have to have that they should be on their own property, and that means that that should be either already Indian reservation land or they should turn it into reservation.
It's not Indian reservation land. It's it was chartered by the city. The Indians won in court. The city's pissed at them, but the city has no right to fight it because it was won in a federal tribal court, and they've already attacked them twice, like tried to take them back to court, and they lost.
That's exactly what it is. And so the bottom line is that there are many reasons for whatever happened to you, but overall, we've got to band together. People have to band together no matter what to slow down this runaway train called greed. We have to, if we don't stop it, it's going to roll all of us over and there's just going to be a few left, just like a nuclear bomb holocaust. We'll just leave a few people in select places alive. The same thing is going to happen with this greed because it's going to turn into a financial holocaust. Everyone's going to lose their money anyway because the banks are going to go dark at some point, and everyone's account is going to become zeros. So, you know, we're going to be looking at that in the near future, and that's going to really propel civil unrest.
And
well,
we're getting to that place.
Yeah.
I can tell you my feel-good story of the season.
Sure.
My car was broken down at 3 in the morning. I worked a double shift, and I was just going
to... Did you tell
you
us
You already told
last
us
week?
Last episode. Your
right.
pastor came and helped you.
But that's all right. If he thinks that it's important enough to go with two strokes, you've got 5 minutes. Go ahead.
And what I was going to say is that today I got to share it with the, you know, the congregation, because my pastor, he doesn't self-promote himself. He doesn't hype himself at all. So I got to share it with people. And the point was that if I went to church and healed a blind person, or raised, I was even telling him, I said, next Sunday, bring a blind person. I'm going to pray for them. They're going to see. You know, someone that's in a wheelchair, bring them. I'm going to touch them. They're going to walk. They said, and in fact, bring a dead person. Roll them down the center aisle, and they're going to get raised from the dead. And afterwards, I'll go to the Santa Monica Pier, and I'll walk on water. I said, you know what would happen the next Sunday? The LA Times would be here. You know, the CNN and Fox would be covering it, and the place would be packed. And the people would be given money, and it would be just an entertainment circle. But I said, instead, you have someone who just gave unselfishly, you know, to another person that you would say, what a loser, you know, I am. And that's the whole point of that's what's so great and so unpublicized about, you know, selfless acts like that people like Mother Teresa would do. It's like everyone's into the hype and the bling, but our values are all messed up. I mean, we need to really focus on the things that are important. That's being kind. That's being loving. That's being sacrificing for each other. And those are the kind of spiritual principles our country has lost.
And
we don't promote
that. That's one of the things I have a disagreement with the structural church, is that they shouldn't have to demand tithes. And so many churches, not, you know, they don't demand them per se, but they require them strongly. And that's not right. If a person doesn't want to give the church, the actual structural church, that's their business. And the churches instead go out and proselytize, but it's not for Jesus or God, it's for money. And that's not right. And that's one of my big criticisms of the church structure.
Show me the money.
You guys can do the conclusion. I'm kind of fatigued tonight.
I wouldn't doubt it after all you've been through. But how many minutes are there left?
Three. Two.
Three. Okay,
there's
two
minutes.
All right. Well, I've already pretty much said mine. We need to, you know, think about how stupid we in America are. I mean, we've been at war with multicultural countries forever, and we vote in twice a guy named Hussein. So that's insane, and we're going to have, you know, if we don't sit back, and I mean our white forefathers, their spawn don't sit back and readjust their thinking, we're going to be done. We're going to be in trouble.
John, you got about 1 minute left.
Well, one of my favorite sayings that a pastor used to say, and that is, have a happy new you. Because if you don't have a happy new you, you're not going to have a happy new year. So I strongly encourage everyone just to, you know, think about the change you want, become that change. And it's small stuff, and I know it's not going to change the world, but it can change your world, and that's the best you can do. You can't do more than that. And that's where faith comes in. Just one day at a time, all of us, let's do the best we can, make our little world the best that we can be. And, you know, that's my word for the day, my word for the week.
All right, improve yourself. Everybody improve their self-esteem. Good.
Don, try to make it the whole year without me